This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Welcome to Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at sci-fi noise.com. It's part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, please go to deliberatenoise.com. Alright, first off, a couple things. Number one, this will probably be a spoiler discussion of the 2016 Doctor Who Christmas special. There's certain plot points that I want to talk about, that I actually think you need to talk about, and they will reveal certain things. So if you haven't listened to it, truly, if you don't want to know, don't listen. Simply, I'm gonna try to not. You know what, I'm just thinking, if there's any like really big moments that you don't see coming from a mile away, and I don't think there are, you know, there's no, you know, like Darth Vader reveal from Empire, it's nothing like that, so don't have to worry about that. However, like I said, there will be certain plot points that we'll be going over. And number two, there's a guy who apparently was on the show before, and there's a character, I should say, on the show, played by a actor called Matt Lucas. I have been calling him Matt Smith in my head for the past few hours, so if I slip and call him Matt Smith, that's what I'm talking about. Unless I specifically say Matt Smith, who played the Doctor, which I don't really see that happening. Yeah, kind of, maybe. Anyways, I just wanted to get those two things out of the way at first. Just so you know, I am outside in my backyard. It is day after Christmas, like 8 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's asleep because nobody has to go to work. Except I think my next door neighbor is awake because his garage is open and I see lights, so he could hear me. So I'm going to try to keep my voice down because I don't... Yeah, he needs to subscribe if he wants to know, you know. I just walk over to the other because the other house is empty. So I'm out here pacing back and forth like I usually do. So if I sound like I'm getting out of breath, that's just my 300-pound self lumbering around the backyard trying to talk at the same time. So that's what it is. Don't worry about it. I'm not that close to death. Anyway, first off, I'm just going to get it right out of the way in case you're curious and you just want to get this over with, because it's been about 3 minutes and I'm just now getting to it. But I enjoyed the episode. I have already seen a couple of reviews from my friends. Somebody said that they liked it more than they thought they would. Someone called it completely forgettable. Someone else said that the best part of the whole thing was the preview of the upcoming season. And someone else called it one of the best ones in the past few years. Okay. So I'm not going to say that overall reception has been mixed. So these are some of my more geekier friends. So they don't save it for the podcast. I don't even know if you need my podcast. I think one does. But he doesn't talk about science fiction's TV, you know. Anyway, so my thoughts. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. But each Christmas special, and I actually kind of like the way that they don't call it a holiday special. I mean, it is a Christmas special. No offense to anyone who's not a Christian or who's atheist or anything like that. And there are more options in either not being a Christian, being Christian or atheist. You know, there are other options. But this one has always been called the Christmas special. So to change it now would just be weird. You know? Anyway, each one, at least lately, to me, seems like what they're doing is they're trying to use a certain genre of storytelling and inserting Doctor Who into it. You know, last year was pretty much a romance story, you know. It was a romance story, just happened to be featuring Doctor Who. It's actually starring Doctor Who, I would say. There was, I don't remember who the actor was, but it was basically the story of Scrooge, right? So it was very Dickensian, but science fiction at the same time, you know. There was, I want to say it was Waters of Mars, but I could be getting it mixed up with someone. This is one where they were on a bus. How much I remember. And that was more of like a Agatha Christie type deal. And I could be completely off base. My memory could be completely shot. But this is kind of what I'm remembering, you know? Or if not what I'm remembering, at least how I have accepted. Yeah, he is over there working. How I have accepted certain things in the, certain types of the storytelling that they're trying to tell, right? There's the Victorian, giant monster one. There was, oh crap. Shit. There's one in particular that I was trying to think of. But anyway, I can't think of it now. I can't even remember which one I was trying to think of, and I think that I have exhausted my, A Town Called Christmas, which, if I recall correctly, was just a Western, you know? Oh, and the one that introduced, Donna Noble, The Runaway Bride, which is basically a screwball comedy, you know, featuring Doctor Who. And this time around, they decided to go with The Return of Dr. Mysterio, which is basically a superhero story. And it's not basically a superhero story. It is a superhero story, you know. It's not, like a lot of television shows where when they mention superheroes or comic books, they do it in a very cynical or snarky way. You know, there's a television show called Scorpion, and one of the things that they have is like this superhero character, not a character, you know, like one of the characters, but one of the characters on the show reads comic books, and he watches the cartoons and the movies and that kind of stuff, and they're all based on somebody called Super Fun Guy. You know, it's like really, really cheesy, right? And I think I mentioned this before, but it seems on a different podcast, but it seems like it's a story, you know, when they mention him, it's like someone is writing a character about comic book fans. He's writing a comic book fan character, but he's never met a real comic book fan. You know, they are writing about superheroes and they've never really read a comic book before, or they haven't since they were kids, you know. And that's what I get from a lot of, not only, and that's what I get from a lot of things that aren't comic books, you know, even the superhero movies, which is just like really huge business right now. They all decide to take a more realistic / cynical view of being a superhero. You know, I mean, it's like, I'm trying to think of the last superhero movie where a good guy goes out and does good guy things because they are a good guy. You know, male or female, this is, you know, somebody's either wants revenge or they end up killing somebody. Or, like I said, the writers or the filmmakers are just saying, look, we're just trying to tell a story here. We don't really care about this stuff, right? That's, I think, one of the biggest problems I have with Zack Snyder's interpretation of Superman. You know, it's like he's doing it because he knows that this will... Wow, he can stay paid for the rest of his life just by showing up to conventions, you know. He will always have money coming in, because if he were to spend all his money today, he could still get on the convention circuit and be able to survive, probably. You know, oh dear God, that guy's out here smoking. Whew. So it looks like I'm going in front of the house now. But when I watch his movies, his Superman movies, the movies with Superman in them, I should say, I don't really get a sense of love for the character, or even respect for the character, or the character's fans. You know, it's mostly, it seems like, hey, this is a job, I think it'll be cool, and this is what I'm going to do with the character, you know. And like I said, I really wanted to like Man of Steel, but, there's a cynical view of the character who can't just be a nice guy, right? I'm not sure where Zack Snyder's from, but it seems like he's from New York or LA, right? And if he's not from New York or LA, he spent way too much time in New York and LA, and he's jaded. He doesn't realize that the so-called flyover states, they don't think everybody's a dick, right? So, anyway. So, there's a character. He's called the Ghost, right? And we get to know his origin story, which, it was sort of like the introduction of Amy Pond. You know how a little kid wakes up and then there's the Raggedy Man. Wow, that guy needs to take, well, it's a she, but she needs to take her car to the mechanic. Anyway, sounds like she's got belts loose or something. Anyway, and then that story, as we know, and say I am going to mention Matt Smith. Matt Smith meets this little girl. And he said, you know, I think he's wounded or something. He says, well, I'll be back. No, I think it's right after he regenerated. Well, anyway, he says, I'll be back. And he comes back, you know, decades later. And she becomes one of his best companions. Well, at least to me. I've always liked Amy Pond. And then this time, the doctor, played by Peter Capaldi. Well, I found out last night Patty doesn't like his doctor. I'm like, really? He's like probably one of my favorites. But anyway, he's setting a trap for aliens, and this little kid watches him, and, you know, and like the doctor usually does, he's explaining what's going to happen, and he immediately drafts this kid, right, who has a cough. So the doctor gives him a glass of water, and... And he shows him this pill. This little tiny device, right? That's gonna like power this bomb. I'm not even sure the details, right? And they don't really matter for the purposes of the story. But the doctor gives it to him. The kid thinks, oh, okay, this guy's a doctor. He gave me a water and something that looks like a pill. I have to take it. So he takes it, right? And the way the kid explains it makes perfect sense. Like, yeah, why wouldn't you, you know? And the kid ends up with powers. And the first one that manifests itself is like the last one that manifested itself on Smallville, which was the power of flight. You know, and I thought that was, I don't know if anybody else really caught that or even cared to catch that. But when the kid first starts levitating, which let's face it, that's just the beginning of flight, I thought to myself, well, damn, it took Tom Welling 10 years to get to this point, right? And I'm bringing up the Superman comparison for a great big reason. There are Superman references all over this show, right? All over this episode. And they're not really cheesy. But anyway, they're not cheesy, in which they're more reverent, right? Even the way that the ghost gets his powers, that is such a golden age thing to do. Huh. That's not cool. Anyway, because think about how many stories start with, well, I can only think of two off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure there are others, where there's a little kid who comes across something that gives him powers, right? And with Captain Marvel and with Marvel Man, they both get their powers from some wizard, some elderly wizard, right? For Captain Marvel, it was Shazam, right? Marvel Man, I can't remember what he was, but he was like an astrophysicist who taught Michael Moran the secrets of the universe through the word Komoda, right? And this is like the original Mick Anglo version of the story, not when Alan Moore took over, because Alan Moore basically took that whole storyline and turned it upside down, right? But oh, what was it? Daredevil. Talking about the original origin of Daredevil. He got his powers, you know, he got his radar sensing and hit in the face with radioactivity because he was trying to save an old man, right? Who they never really mentioned again, did they? At least not in the original story. Maybe years later somebody said, hey, you know what? We never mentioned what happened to the old man. But when Tony Stark got put in a Vietnamese, was it Vietnamese or Chinese? I can't remember which one it was, but when he was being held captive, no, it was Chinese. It was the communist Chinese, communist Chinese. Later it became Vietnamese and then became, what, Afghans or something? Who knows? Who knows who it is now? Probably just Hydra. But when he was being held captive, he was being held captive with some old man who helped him develop his suit, you know? So, I mean, it's like Star Wars, right? You've got Luke Skywalker, who pretty much finds out about the Force from an old man, you know? So you have the whole old man, young kid comparison once again, you know, in the origin of the ghost. But in this instance, we know more about the old man. We know more about the wizard. Captain America got his superpowers from the super serum, which was administered to him by an old man, you know? I'm I'm stuck on this now, right? John John's Martian Manhunter. He came to Earth when he was rescued by Dr. Erskine. I think it was Erskine, or was that the guy from whatchamacallit? Captain America. One of them's name was Erskine. But, you know, he came down to Earth and he got his powers basically because an old man was fiddling around with the universe, and Adam Strange, you know, with the Zeta Beam. That was because of an old man. So anyway, I'm going to try to get over it. But, you know, you have old man being responsible for the powers of heroes, and this goes back all the way to the golden age of comic books, right? So it's not anything really new, but like I was saying before, I so rudely cut myself off. This is the first time that I can recall, at least, where we know more about the wizard that we do the old man. Shit, King Arthur. No, I'm done. Right, you know, the Merlin and Arthur and all right, stop. But anyway, so we know about the superhero, okay? And unlike with Amy Pond, the doctor goes back several points in this young kid's development, and he visits him, you know, and he's trying to help him get a hold of his powers, you know, to let him to help him control his flight, and to talk to him about basically controlling himself and not using his powers. And his reasoning makes a lot more sense than Zack Snyder's reason. You know, it's not that they're going to cut you up and try to dissect you and figure it out. It's like, look, human beings weren't meant for this power, right? The more you use it, the more problems you could cause. But we're talking about a real superhero here. You know, we're talking about the Ghost. And as you see the kid grow up, and he's getting counseling from, you know, this wizard, right? Not a whole lot, because when he gets older, there's some surprises that come along the doctor's way, right? And that's in the past, right? So I'm not going to talk about the Ghost for a while, but the main part of the story was a evil corporation, right? Well, it turns out it was just a corporation, a think tank, that kind of thing. It's getting an awful lot of government funding, right? And there's this plucky female reporter who's asking questions of the CEO, who seems like a really nice guy, just, you know, kind of confused. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this bald guy. Completely bald guy who's asking a question. And I don't remember the character from before. I don't remember Matt Lucas being on the show before. So to me, I'm thinking, oh, he's a bad guy. And I'm thinking he's a bad guy because he's bald and I'm looking for a Lex Luthor, right? And we pretty much got a Lex Luthor a little later. Kind of. But yeah, I was wrong. You know, but you had it there. You had the plucky female reporter. You had the bald guy. They mention not Schuster and Siegel, but like Schugel and Seester, something like that, where they took the names of the Superman creators and they just changed them slightly so that, you know, when the CEO is giving his speech and he mentions these two names, it sounds like Schuster and Siegel, but it's not exactly Schuster and Siegel, but it's just enough. But it resembles it just enough so that if you're looking for a Superman reference, you're thinking, hey, there's a Superman reference, you know? And once again, the reason I'm mentioning Superman is they actually were flipping through a comic book, which, unlike a lot of stuff, you don't get like super fun guy type bullshit. You get an actual superhero, you know, one of the most recognizable iconic figures of the 20th and 21st century, right? So, you know, you see Superman, so I'm looking for Superman stuff. And anyway, I'm not gonna go, you know, scene by scene because I don't remember. But later on, the doctor sees the ghost in action, basically, and you know he tracks the kid using the power of this thing that's in his chest, right? I can't remember if it's a gem or a jewel or what. But there's something in his chest, the thing that he swallowed, that's giving him his superpowers, right? The doctor tracks him, and when the doctor tracks him, he finds out that he's a nanny, right? Not only is he a nanny, but he's a nanny for that plucky female reporter who the doctor and the bald guy met earlier. So she thinks that they're following her, not realizing they're following her nanny, who is the ghost, who she doesn't recognize because he wears a mask, right? And it's not like a domino mask where, you know, or even like one like on Arrow where anybody who knows Oliver will recognize Oliver's like, why are you making that voice? You know, it's nothing like that. What was it? Green Lantern, right? That was one thing Green Lantern got right. When Carol met Hal as Green Lantern, she was like, yeah, you know, I recognize you, right? I'm paraphrasing the scene because it was like my favorite scene, but it's still not a very good movie. And she's like, you know, I recognize you, right? He's like, what? And I thought it was fun. Anyway. So the part that I like is that the mask that he had on covered up just enough of his face that even if you were to know who he was, number one, you really wouldn't think it, that this is the ghost. Just like you really wouldn't think that Clark Kent is Superman because, you know, if you've seen Superman, the motion picture, you know that Christopher Reeve did an excellent job of keeping Clark as a separate character from Superman. And that's what Justin Chatwin, who played Goku, and was it Dragon Ball Evolution? That's what he did here. He kept Grant, the nanny Grant, as a separate character from the ghost, not just in the voice he used, because it was funny because they were showing like behind the scenes interviews type deal, and Justin Chatwin said that what he wanted to do was to kind of blend Christopher Reeve's Superman with Christian Bale's Batman, you know, only the voice that he does doesn't seem painful. You know, it's one of those deals where he would be talking normal, but then the ghost would talk like this instead of like Batman, where, you know, he would talk like this and then he'd go down like this. It's like, oof, jeez, dude, that's got to hurt, you know. So that's what he was going for, you know. He was going for mild mannered. In fact, he referred to himself, Grant, as mild mannered. And there's like an interview scene which was really well done. It was really a good reference to the original Superman movie, right? The interplay between the ghost and the reporter, and I'm calling her the reporter because I cannot remember her name or the actress's name. Yeah, I know, I'm a horrible human being and an awful person. Oh well. And it's really good. It not only gave the secret origin of the ghost, but it also talked more about the origin of Grant and how he got there, how he became a male nanny. And it's not just, you know, he answered an ad. It's like, this is a girl that he's been into for a long time, you know, who was married to some other dude. And as soon as she got pregnant, the other dude took off. Right? I mean, how fucking familiar is that story? You know? And this was like a little baby. So this guy just had to recently taken off. I mean, this kid, the kid was still being wrapped up, right? Not even walking yet. So this had to be like within a year and a half. Let's say the second she found out, she told him, I'm pregnant. He's like, oh shit, I'm out of here. And Grant was there for her, right? And then there was this point that never really came to me in the Superman movies where she realized that, you know, she was into Grant, you know. She was intrigued by the ghost, but she was really into Grant. Now, who noticed little things? And yeah, just if you watch it, just look at how sweet that whole interview scene is, right? And of course, there's a point where he has to reveal who he is. Just done very well, right? To me, this is probably some of Stephen Moffat's strongest writing, maybe since Blink. He not only does it appear to be a one-and-done story, I don't know if we'll see the ghost again. I kind of hope not, simply because then you have the same problem that you're going to have with the DC shows on the CW, where if you watch them, then you know. And this is probably also, at least Supergirl is, and The Flash, really like non-cynical views of superheroes, right? These are characters who actually want their powers, and they want the responsibility, you know, and they want to do good things. Anyway, they had a crossover. No, they originally had a crossover. It was just Flash and Supergirl. And when they needed help with an alien invasion, Flash found a way back to Supergirl's universe. Now, by the end of the crossover, which, let's face it, the heroes are going to win. It's their TV shows. They gave her a device so that she could come back and visit anytime, and they could go to her at any time, right? So that instead of being in an entirely different universe, sort of like just being down the street, right? And the one problem with Supergirl, and this is not my problem, this is other people's problem, this is like a storytelling problem. If she gets into too much trouble, the question always then becomes, why doesn't she just call Superman for help? You know, and that's why they have to make up excuses. Oh, he's off planet. Oh, he's in another dimension. You know, and after a while, it gets kind of, especially since we've seen Superman on the show, you know, which is something they could have had going as a running joke for a long time. They could have gone a couple more seasons without seeing Superman, where somebody's like, you know what, we really could have used your cousin's help. So, oh yeah, I'm not sure what he was doing. I think he was in Mardi Gras on a different universe or something. I don't know. They could have done something. But Supergirl, nah. Supergirl has that Superman problem. Okay. Now, Flash, Green Arrow, DC's Legends of Tomorrow, they all have that same problem. Because now the problem is, if somebody gets too big and too powerful, why can't they just call Supergirl? And why can't she just bring Superman? You know? And so in Doctor Who, the problem that they now have is, well, why can't they just call the Ghost? Okay? And, you know, and even in the past, they could have said, well, why haven't they used the Ghost before, right? Well, the main reason they haven't used the Ghost before is because, number one, the character hasn't been created until just recently. But the Doctor has gone out of his way to not want him to use his powers. So why would he then say, hey, let me go and find this guy, you know? And at the same time, the Ghost is trying to keep a low profile, you know? They never did explain why all of a sudden he decided to go out being a vigilante, and even if he's going to be a vigilante, why he was on TV, you know? And there was one part where I really thought that, just watch it, you'll figure it out. So like I said, I liked it, but I liked it more for the fact that it wasn't, once again, where superheroes are going to be ridiculed or they're going to be shown to be secret fascists, you know. I can't remember what it was. No, Myrtle Lafferty, I know, was a comic book fan. Myrtle Lafferty's read comic books for years. But she wrote at least one podcast series based on a book that she had written, where they were taking a look at other type of superhero, right? Not the Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern type super superpowered beings, but you know, the type of people who could like increase the temperature of a room if they walked in by 3 degrees, right? Or they touch a flower and it blooms perfectly, you know. People like that with like useless powers. And even then in her story, I felt like she didn't really like superheroes, you know. It's like she liked the idea of superpowers, and this is something that a lot of modern day writers and directors and producers have. They like the idea of superpowers, but they don't really like the idea of superheroes, right? That's why in X-Men they didn't want them to have costumes. That's why they had uniforms, you know. That's why one of the best Batman shows that was on TV was actually called Person of Interest, and he never wore a costume, you know. Yeah, you have people like the $6 Million Man and the Bionic Woman and Manimal and what, Jason of Star Command. You had all these people, you know, Misfits of Science. I'm saying that like you know what the fuck I'm talking about. I know some of you will, because you know you're probably around my age, and on Friday nights, you got to watch whatever you could watch. And some of you who are younger, just like, what the hell is Misfits of Science? But anyway. even heroes, right? They went out of their way to make sure that nobody wore a costume. Okay? And the Ghost unapologetically puts on a costume, and everybody treats it like, okay, yeah, this is happening. This is the deal, you know? And I'm not trying to call Murr out. But that was the first time I noticed it, and the story she told wasn't that bad, you know. Actually, pretty good. But then, like soon after that, there was like the Dr. Horrible sing along thing, and once again, there was another superhero, Captain Hammer, who, you know, was secretly a dick, right? And then that's when I started noticing stories like The Boys, you know, Superheroes Are All Dicks. Right? The Authority, you know, the Authority and Planetary, they were going up against superheroes and they were all dicks. Right? And going back to martial law, he was an anti-superhero hero, right? He hated superheroes, and with good reason, because they were all dicks. Brat Pack is another comic book, you know, and this is not just comic books. I mean, this is not just non-comics. Comic books have been doing the same thing, you know, where people just don't care about the whole concept of being a hero. You know, I know I've said it before, but if I had superpowers, chances are really good that I'd be a supervillain, right? But then again, I'm cynical and jaded on a lot of things. And it's the same kind of people who are doing these things, where they will... Oh, this time I realized I was holding my phone the wrong way. So if this suddenly gets louder, sorry. People who were brought up thinking, oh yeah, superheroes, that's kind of corny. That's not cool. It's not something you really want to do. You know, they're making pop culture. You know, they've gone from being people who are creating it to being going from being people who are creating it to people who are like guiding the future. That's why with the DC Cinematic Universe, I liked Suicide Squad, but then again, I liked Suicide Squad simply because you expect levels of cynicism from these particular characters, right? Don't really expect that from Superman, right? Or Batman or Wonder Woman. So I'm looking forward to the Wonder Woman movie just to see what's going on. And actually, another thing I did like about Suicide Squad is you got to see what happens. You know, you got to see things from the villain's point of view, right? Even when they tell stories about villains in comic books, you don't really get to see things like, hey, you know, I'm just out, you know, like doing my job robbing banks or something, when all of a sudden this guy in this shiny costume just comes up and beats me up. Right? You don't really see that. You see it every now and then, but like I said, even the stories about villains, you don't really get to see that. You get to see them plotting and failing and stuff like that. But anyway, with the DC Universe, Geoff Johns, who's a comic book writer, he's been given more authority over the universe, the direction of the universe. So hopefully he takes it away from Snyder, Snyder's vision, and more towards, I don't know, something nicer. All right. So I think that the first movie, I think the last movie under the old regime was Wonder Woman. So we'll see. It might have been Justice League, but I'm almost positive that it's Wonder Woman. I think that by the time they started with Justice League, any kind of changes that he wanted to institute, he could still make. That said, I'm giving them a pass up till Justice League. I'm not going to pile on as, oh, this is crap, like everybody else does, until after Justice League. What they do after Justice League is when I will really start to evaluate things. I'm pretty much aware that I want to spend my money, you know, on their stuff going forward. Because, yeah, I'm a comic book fan. Yeah, I'm a movie fan. Yeah, I'm a comic book movie fan, but there's nothing that says I have to spend my money on it, right? Ant-Man, I didn't have high hopes for, so I just said to myself, I'll see it when it comes out on Stars, you know, because I think they announced that Stars, they got the Marvel movies. So yeah, But yeah, this return of Dr. Mysterio, it was one of those things that I really like, because I really like superheroes. You know, I didn't really expect for them to do it right. Okay. When I first saw the preview for the Christmas special, and I saw him flying around in a costume, I immediately thought to myself, all right, here we go. You know, I was not expecting to like it. Okay. Just wasn't expecting to like it at all. You know, I thought I was going to sit up here and start talking. I would have been making more comparison of the superhero that I saw to, you know, Captain Hammer. I thought that he was going to become some ultra cheesy guy who just showed once again Hollywood or BBC television their disdain for superheroes. And instead, like I said, I was not only pleasantly surprised, but I was happily surprised. You know, I really enjoyed it. And if you like superheroes, I think that you'll enjoy it as well. If you are a very strong Doctor Who person, you may be a little put off with the fact that there are times where he is more of a supporting character. But I didn't have a problem with that. You know, there was my friend who also liked this. He said that he would like to see a Ghost spinoff. I don't want to see a Ghost spinoff. I am happy with just this one story. But I did like what they did. So, anyway, let me know what you thought. You can send an email to Derek@deliberatenoise.com, or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772, or you can just record something on your phone and email it to Derek@deliberatenoise.com, like I said. And I will be back. Wow, this is a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. And I will be back soon with another episode. Thank you. I'm gonna see.